I don't know how to tell you. She goes, you have cancer.
Oh, James,
And
Trisha.
that came out of the blue. That was the biggest gut punch I've ever had.
Hi, guys. I'm Sean. I had my life changed with dental implants. And hi, I've been lucky enough today to ask Trisha some questions about her dental implant journey. Trisha has a truly heartwarming journey to share with us today. She's faced challenges, overcame obstacles, and went through a year that tested her resilience, all in pursuit of her dream for a smile with Nuvia. Trisha, I just want to get started. Let me rewind back to the beginning of your journey with Nuvia.
Okay.
Had oral health been an issue for you for a long time?
Unfortunately, yes. I struggled with oral health from my entire life. It started in my early teens, and no matter what I did, I would go to the dentist. I would have them sealed. I would be good for a couple of months. Go back. Oh, now there's a cavity. Get those resealed. Go to root canals. Ultimately, I ended up having 10 root canals and everyone having a crown on them. I got older, I ended up having missing teeth. So as you start this as a teenager, you don't know what's going to happen. And when you have dentists that always tell you, oh, you've got soft enamel, that's going to ruin your smile. It's going to ruin your entire life. You're going to struggle. I just remember as a teenager, I had a dentist that told me that I would have dentures before the age of 40 just because of my dental issues from an early age.
Yeah. Did that impact your daily life, your oral health in that way?
It did. When I was younger, you didn't know anything about it except for your parents going, go brush your teeth. Did you floss? Did you do this? Did you do that? And I'm like, yes, Mom, I did that. And then when we go to the dentist, they're all like, you've got cavities. And my parents are looking at me going, how did this happen? When I saw it really hindering my life was after I graduated from college. Once I went into the workforce, that's where I really realized that I didn't want to be smiling. I didn't want to be in front of people, but I was in the hospitality industry. I went to the school up here in Northern Arizona. My background is hotel restaurant management. Spent 20 years in the hotel industry. So after I got my first job, they sent me across country and they said, guess what? You're going to go see these clients. You have to see them every single day. So when you're meeting with clients on different levels of management, I realized when I was talking to them, I was not opening up my mouth. So as I was going through my world of the hospitality world, I kept on growing with the company and I kept on getting promoted. And what was difficult for me is that how do I go talk to a CEO? Right. I would send somebody else from my hotel because I was scared to just have them look at me and judge me because of what I look like and not give us a chance to honor their clients and have them stay at our hotel just because of what I look like.
Right.
And so the self-esteem started going really down 20 years ago, but nobody really knew what dental implants was because all it was dentures. Mm-hmm. Look how much we've grown in all these years.
Sure. Well, can you tell us a little bit about your decision to undergo the full smile transformation recently, why that came about?
I had been searching for many years of what I could do. I went to various doctors, or I should say various dentists over the years, and they said, okay, you can have one implant here. You can have a partial. You can do this. You can do that. And I knew that that was not going to be complete. I felt like I was going to be a jigsaw puzzle, and it was never going to be complete.
Band-aiding puzzle pieces, yeah.
Yes. And it's one of those things is that you have this one piece, it will fit one area, but then you need to fix something on the bottom left. Is it going to align?
Right.
And it was very, very frustrating because everybody that I saw, all these specialists, all these individuals, they said, you'll never be perfect. You'll never have a perfect smile. You'll never have what you're looking for because of all the issues that I had growing up. And they didn't know where to start with me. I was such a weird case. I kept on getting pushed to so many different dentists all around the valley.
Yeah.
So I knew that there was something out there. Did I know what it was? No. Did I have to do a lot of searching and research? Yes.
Absolutely. Well, what was the process like for you with the initial consultation, you know, to the final result? Could you, can you kind of walk us through the different stages of your smile transformation journey?
It started a year ago, and I went in, did not tell anybody in my family what I was doing. I was afraid to tell them because I didn't want them to talk me out of it. So I said, okay, what the heck? I'm just going to go for this consultation.
Good.
Nobody knows what's going to happen, because if I did not go for the consultation, I would not know, is there a result for me? Because like I said, I've been searching and searching and searching. And I went in, didn't know what to expect, even though I watched the videos and I saw all these gorgeous smiles. Is that going to be something that's going to be able to be me? So as you go in, we all know, you go through the x-rays and you go through the scans and you go through all of that fun stuff. And then you ultimately get this picture of what you could look like at the end.
Right, right.
And these pictures, you're like, oh my goodness, I have teeth. I have a smile. This is something that's going to be great. Is it going to be ultimately going to be for me? So as I sat down, they came in and said, you're going to be a candidate. You have the bone structure. You have everything that we're going to need. And the tears start flowing. And poor Vince. I felt so bad for Vince. And he's like, here's the Kleenex.
He loved every minute of it.
And I'm sitting there and I'm just bawling and I'm bawling. He's like, do you need water? Are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. And he's like, are these good tears? I go, yes, these are good tears.
These are incredible tears
because you just told me I'm a candidate and I could have this as a picture in X amount of time when we can get me scheduled.
Right.
He goes, give me a minute. He goes, I'll let you calm down. Start breathing. I'm like, okay. Then all of a sudden, 10, 15 minutes later, they come back in. And they said, Trish, we've got bad news.
Oh, shucks.
And they said, we can't do it. I go, what do you mean you can't do this? And they said, whew, sorry.
Please,
they said, because of your weight and because of your BMI, we're scared to put you under. And I'm like, wait a minute, you just told me 15 minutes ago I can do it. So how did this change? And they said they talked to the surgeons, they talked to the anesthesiologist, and they said, because of my weight, they'd be afraid that I wouldn't come out of anesthesia. And they did not want to take that chance. And they did not.
Right.
And so they said, to get your BMI down, you need to lose a minimum of 50 pounds. And I'm sitting here going, okay, if you only knew what I was just coming from like I was my car accidents. I can't exercise like I want to anymore. I have the spinal damage. I can't walk like I used to. So
you felt like you were hitting a brick wall.
Yeah. Because all of a sudden I went from the highest of the high and I was the self-confidence. I'm like, just that little picture, that self-confidence was going. And I'm like, this is going to happen. And then here comes the rug just pulled out from underneath me. And I just sat there and I'm like, are you really telling me that I can't do this? And Vince is like, I am so sorry, Trish. I am so sorry. I have to tell you this. And I go, so I have to lose the 50 pounds. He goes, you need to get down 50 pounds to get that BMI down. And that April 22nd was actually my wedding anniversary. So I was there by myself. My husband wasn't there. He was in Montana taking care of his mom who had cancer. So he had no clue anything was going on.
Oh,
so
wow.
As I'm walking out, they're all giving me hugs. They're like, we're going to get through this. We're going to get you through this. And so I'm like, okay. I was very depressed that day. I just drove around the valley. Don't know how far I drove. I just kept on driving. And I'm like, oh, I better go pick up my daughter from work. Better get going the other direction. So my daughter's like, what's wrong, mom? And I go, what do you mean what's wrong? She goes, you've been crying. I'm like, I'm fine. She's all like, are you upset because it's your wedding anniversary? Dad's not here. And I go, no, I'm fine. I'll be fine. She's like, okay. And so I didn't really do anything for about 3-4 weeks. So fast forward to June and I get this terrible call from a doctor. I went in for my normal blood work because I have thyroid issues and I have other health issues. So I went in for my normal monthly blood draw and they called me and they said, Trish, you need to come in immediately. I go, why? Normally you guys just call my prescriptions in and we're good to go. And they're all like, no, you need to come in immediately. So I went in and I could tell by the doctor's face there was something terribly wrong.
Oh, no.
And she goes, honey, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how to tell you. She goes, you have cancer.
Oh, James, Trisha. And
that came out of the blue. That was the biggest gut punch I've ever had. And now I'm fighting for my life. So the dental implants is not even on my mind right now. It's how I'm going to survive for my family. So I went through knowing that I had cancer for about 10 days before I told anybody. Because I needed to sort of process it myself.
Right.
Because me and my family had this type of cancer. If he told me I was going to have breast cancer, that would have been something that I was very prepared for. Because that comes in the family a lot. But the cancer I have was something that nobody in my family has. So I didn't know where to turn to, what to do, what have you. So from the time I got my diagnosis, June 2nd, the day before my daughter's birthday, to the day I had my surgery was 2 weeks. I had my first surgery 2 weeks after my diagnosis. So after the surgery, I was keeping my fingers crossed. I was praying and going, please let this be the magic wand that's going to get me cancer free.
Uh-huh.
1 week later, it was one of those calls that the doctor, I see the phone call come up. It's the doctor again. It wasn't the nurse. It was the doctor. She was all like, what are you doing this afternoon? Well, by the time you're calling me, normally your nurse calls me. So if you're calling me, this is not good news. She goes, can you be here in the next hour? So with that, I went to the doctor shaking like there was no tomorrow because I knew that this was not good. She's all of your tests came back. We didn't get your cancer. Okay. I go, what do we do from here? Do we go into chemo? Do we do medication? How aggressive is this? She goes, we have to go through surgery again. We do. She goes, you have at least two more surgeries that you need immediately. So this is now towards the end of June. I couldn't get into some of my doctors that I needed to get into for all these consultations. So I had to wait until September, the end of September, to have surgery number 2 and number 3.
Wow.
So during this time from middle of June to the end of September, I decided I needed to change the way I was eating and eat better for people that have cancer. So like I said, I was not thinking about losing the weight. I was not thinking about the dental implants. I wasn't thinking about any of that.
You were surviving.
I was still in, my survival mode.
Right.
Because it's just my husband, myself, and my daughter. And my daughter saw me going through this. She was freaking out. She's like, Mom, I can't lose you. You're my best friend. I cannot have you die on me. And I'm like, honey,
gave you some strength.
Yes. I'm like, I'm going to get through this, honey. I don't know how, but darn straight, I'm going to get through this. So doing what I could, doing the little bit of walking that I could with my body and before it would give out and what have you. Lo and behold, I lost 40 pounds in about 3 months. And I'm like,
I'm jealous.
Hey. Yeah. And I'm like sitting here going, just because they told me the word cancer and I changed the way I was eating, all of a sudden this 40 pounds just like dropped off. And I'm like wearing clothes. I'm like, dang, I'm going to get a bigger belt or I got to get a belt to cinch up the pants. You know, all this other stuff. I was losing all these clothes.
Yeah.
So I went through my surgery number 2 and 3. It was a very intensive surgery. It was about 6 hours. Mark. So my parents were freaking out. My husband was freaking out and what have you. And that next day, I'm like, get me out of this hospital. I need to get back to my normal world. And my husband's like, just relax. He's like, take one day at a time. Just take one day at a time. I'm like, I just need to get going. I need to kick this because I don't want to get another call from the doctor saying you still have cancer.
Right, right.
So I called the Phoenix team about a week after I had my second and third surgery. And I go, guess what, guys? I've lost over 40 pounds. And they're all like, what did you do? I go, there was this magic word called cancer.
Oh, my goodness. That's so bittersweet sounding.
And all of a sudden, it was like dead silent on the phone.
I bet.
And they're like, what did you just say? I go,
they didn't know whether to congratulate you or console you.
Yes. Because right. The last time they saw me, I was crying walking out the door because I was told I was now not a candidate.
Right.
But I was a candidate because of everything else, but just the weight.
Right.
So it was dead silent. I'm like, are you guys still there? Are you there? And they're like, we're here. And they're all like, are you cancer free? And I go, I don't know yet. I haven't been told. So I was still in that limbo of waiting stages.
Worries, though.
All of a sudden, I go, do you guys mind if I come in? Because you told me if I lost my 40 pounds, you guys would let me come back in and see if we can move forward. And they're awesome. Like, we have to hear back from your doctor first. I'm like, I can't come visit? I can't come see you guys?
Yes, you can.
And they're all like,
yes, you can.
They're like, you could come see us, but we really can't do anything yet until we get the notification
Makes
from your
sense.
Doctor
right.
that we can do this. I'm like, fine. I will wait then to come see you guys. So I was calling my doctor 2 or 3 times a day. Do you have my test results? Do you have my test results? And the poor receptionist goes, Trish, we don't have the results yet. They will call you. And I didn't tell them why I was trying to hurry them,
sure,
per se.
Sure.
And I wanted those stupid results.
Yes,
and here
did.
We go. So about a week after I talked to the Phoenix office, I finally get a call. And they're all like, are you free? I'm like, don't tell me I'm coming back into that office. You better
right.
not
exactly.
me
exactly.
I'm not coming in. She's like, we have your doctor on the other line. I go, every time you guys put her on the line,
something
I
major.
Still have cancer. She's like, hold on, let me transfer you to the doctor. So she transferred me to the doctor. And she's like, Trish, are you sitting down? Yes, I'm sitting down. I don't know if this is going to be good, better, and different, or what I'm going to do. She's like, you're cancer free.
Oh,
I'm like,
my.
You?
Yay!
She's like, yes. I was so excited. And she goes, the reason I waited a little bit longer, she goes, when we did your second and third surgery, we found a tumor. And she goes, this tumor was not on any of your results, on any of my scans.
Uh-huh.
So when they got in there, they found something even more aggressive than the cancer.
Wow.
So when they removed that tumor, they were very scared that it was expanding in regards to that. So I was very happy that I was cancer free and I was able to go see the Phoenix office.
That is amazing, Trisha. You overcame so much. You are such an inspiration, and the strength that you have to hold inside your little heart, your soul is amazing. And I'm telling you what, you have definitely overcome a lot to get where you are. And
you
look amazing.
You look absolutely
gorgeous. So, Trisha, you got the greatest news ever. You're in remission. You're cancer-free. You've lost the weight. You go back into the newbie office. What happens from then?
My family thought I was crazy because now I'm jumping into another surgery. And so they're like, how is your body going to go through 2 cancer surgeries at the end of September?
Oh, God.
And now you're wanting to do your implant surgery. We're more concerned of how are you going to rebound? So I said, let me go to the office. Let me see what's going to happen. Let me see what dates they've got, if I'm still good, what have you. So as I walked in to the Nuvia office, it was just so funny. All the girls behind the counter, behind the desk, they're all like, oh my goodness, we don't recognize you. Because it's been since April. Now I'm walking in, 4 or 5 months later, and I've lost all this weight. And they're all like, we would never have known that you had cancer. I go, exactly. I go, I had cancer when I saw you in April, but I didn't know it until June. So here we are. I'm just a testament that I was able to get through these surgeries and what have you. And they're all like, okay, let's get going. Let's see what's going to happen. So after I got there, we got everything, got the, like I said, I had the clean bill of health. They got me back there. We did all those next steps, doing all the measurements and the impressions and all that fun stuff. And they're like, when do you want to get your surgery? I'm like, when's the next open date? They're like, October 27th. I'm like, you're joking me. And that was literally like 2 weeks after I was in there. So I was in there mid-October. They're like, we can get you in on Thursday the 27th. Are you ready for it? I'm like, holy crap. That's happening. There's a legitimate date. So here I am, three major surgeries in less than 1 month.
Wow.
So my parents thought I was crazy. I go, I'm stubborn. I know what I need to do. They gave me all my dates. They said, here, we will see you bright and early on Thursday the 27th. Are you ready? Go, yes, I was ready months ago. And here we are 6 months later, and it's happening.
Yes. Yeah. And since you got your smile transformation, which is a miracle, and I'm so glad that you did, how has that affected your self-confidence and how have things changed since you got your smile?
It's night and day. For years and years, my self-confidence was down as low as it could get.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at my 6 months. And so here we are. It's weird. This is going to sound strange. I can brush my teeth without worrying that I'm going to break another tooth. That I'm going to lose a tooth because of decay.
Yeah.
That I actually can look in the mirror when I'm brushing my teeth. And because for many years, I wouldn't look in the mirror because I didn't like what I saw. So just getting my new smile, just that little bit was huge. And now I love going out. I love going back out with friends and family and shopping and doing all my crafts and just being out there, because I went into hermit mode, if you want to call it, before COVID hit, because I did not want to be judged. I was tired of being judged by others because people would see me and they would judge me and walk away and not get to know me.
Right.
And I'm always the person that's there to help somebody no matter what's going on. I'm the person that, let's find a fix. Let's figure out how to get to that next step. But everybody was turning their back on me.
Right, right.
So here we are. And the first big thing that I did after having my permanent smile is I got to go to the Elton John concert.
Very cool.
In November. And I got to go to dinner with one of my dear, dear friends. And she walks up to me. She goes, smile. Because I didn't tell her what I did. And she's like, what did you do? She goes, I know you had surgeries, but it was cancer surgery. So what happened up here? I'm like, nothing happened. I'm like, I haven't seen you in 6 months. She's like, baloney. She's like, what did you do? And I told her, she goes, absolutely incredible. She goes, you're smiling from ear to ear. And I couldn't stop smiling. At the concert, we were singing at the top of our lungs. We were dancing. We had the best time.
I bet that really boosted your confidence, huh?
Oh, it did. And we even got to eat incredible dinner at the Old Spaghetti Factory downtown because that was my soft diet. I had spaghetti that night. Yes, it wasn't on the diet.
Did you have any problems with the soft food diet?
I honestly didn't. Everybody said, you're going to struggle. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And I go, I'm doing everything with protein right now. I was doing soft proteins and protein shakes and what have you, because those were things that were told to me to go ahead and eat for the cancer.
Right. Right.
So it was very much in alignment. What was difficult for me, because I had cut out all the carbs and the rice and all that other stuff. So yes, a few pounds came back on just because of the soft diet, but they're all coming back off because now that I've had my 4 month checkup in February, I've got the green light to do whatever I want to do. Yes.
Congratulations. I am so happy for you. You know, that is such a great feeling. I'm sure I can only imagine how wonderful you feel after defeating all of that in your life. You were such an inspiration. Trisha, can I ask you, what words of encouragement do you have for those that are facing challenges that you've already overcome? Do you have any words of encouragement for others that might be looking up to you at this point?
I do. It may not be a smooth road.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to have different bumps in the road. If you don't go from that consultation, you don't know what that end of the road's going to be. Where's that light at the end of the tunnel? Don't give up on your dream. Because if I wouldn't give up and on my dream in June, when they told me I had cancer, would I be sitting right here with you right now with a new smile?
That's right.
No. Was it as quick as I wanted it to be? No. But there was bumps in the road. There was hurdles. And somebody told me what I needed to do. And I went for it. And here we are.
Right on. So just keep fighting no matter what the hurdles are, right?
Exactly.
Never give up. Follow your dreams.
Never give up. You've got that team around you. If it's friends, family, if it's the local Nuvia office, they're there. Let them support you, because that's how I got through this, is that Phoenix office, because they kept on encouraging me.
I love that. Trisha, what's something you tell your old self before your journey started, like before you knew how this year was about to begin for you? What would you go back and tell yourself? Gosh, I'm sure there'd be a lot.
there's a lot of things I would tell myself, but probably the one that sticks to me the most is, why did I wait so long to find happiness?
Mm-hmm.
Why did it take me all of these years to figure out a solution? Just because those other dentists kept on saying, you're still going to not have a perfect smile. You're never going to have this. I'm like, I said earlier, I did not want to be that broken puzzle. I didn't want to be that jigsaw puzzle that you couldn't put back together. And that's what I was being told. And I just put it on the back burner. I suffered. The self-confidence suffered. My self-esteem, you name it, any adjective that you want to put in there, I suffered.
So you would kick yourself in the butt in the past and say, get it going. Don't wait anymore, right? Just go for it.
Go for it, because you're never as young as you think you are. So you just need to go for it and be happy. Yes.
Amen. I love that. Finally, Trisha, how do you feel that you, now that you've completed your smile transformation, what emotions or thoughts come to mind when you think about your journey and the results that you've actually achieved today?
Oh, so many emotions. You've seen some of them tonight.
I'm feeling it with you, and I can empathize with a lot of your story. I guarantee you, I'd love to tell you mine sometime too.
With this now being a one-year journey, so from April of 2022, now we're in April of 2023. This year has been a whirlwind. Has it been easy? No. Has it been hard? Yes. Would I change it? I've grown from it.
Sure.
And like I always say, you have your ups and downs. I double guess myself because I'm afraid to smile too big, because I think I'm going to have the cheesy smile with a little chipmunk.
You have a beautiful smile.
Thank you. And it really took me this 20 years from when I graduated from college to get to where I am now, of saying I should have done something. But like we said, years ago, they did not have this technology. They did not have these opportunities.
Right.
Would I be as happy as I am now 20 years ago with what they had offered? Probably not.
Right.
So I just keep saying, I've got to thank the Phoenix team. They have seen the tears, the good, bad, and the ugly, and I'm not a pretty crier.
I think you are now with that smile, though.
it sort of is a little radiating versus the ugly tears now.
Sure.
But just that year of them being by my side, me just calling them, stressing out, sitting there saying, here's more Kleenex. What can I do for you? What do you need? And it was nice to have somebody be able to see me as a person, because they see people come through those doors every single day.
Sure.
Everybody that walks through that door has their own story. And for them to treat you as a person,
right,
and not judge you because of what you look like is huge, because society does a lot by looks and not getting to know that person.
Right.
And I was raised with, know the person, don't judge. And that's how I've raised my daughter. That's how I've taught my nieces and nephews and what have you, because you never know what that person is going through. Don't beat them down further, because they're probably struggling enough. Help them.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Trisha, you're an absolute pleasure. You're a doll and you are an inspiration. You're a very admirable woman. And I'm so happy that I got to interview you today and hear your story. You are an inspiration to me and many others.
You still there? You want to talk to me or Trish or any other patients? They're on Small Make It Club. Connect with us there. Love to see you. Come join us. Links down below.